Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now designed for the 12th Hour, in the Living Hill, Texas. Today is January 23, 2017, Shabbat 26, 2020. We will start our first service today, the song entitled, Face to Face with Yahshua our Savior. Face to face with Yahshua my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Yahshua who died for me, face to face I shall behold him. Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What a rejoicing in his presence, when all banished grief and pain, Satan and the dark they shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. O Judah, keep thy solemn face, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. Now we're going to read the whole first chapter of Nahum. It says, the burden of Nineveh. Now, this says... Okay, it says that... let's start this again. For the burden of the Nineveh... The book of the vision of Nahum the Eshkohite. Yahweh is jealous and the Yahweh revenges. The Yahweh revenges and is furious. The Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Okay, for the Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Yahweh has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languishes, in Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the time of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagines evil against Yahweh, a wicked counselor. Thus saith Yahweh, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more, for now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds asunder. And Yahweh hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. For the Yahweh hath turned. This is Nahum chapter 2, verse 2. For the Yahweh hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadway. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightning. He shall recount his worthy. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the river shall be open, and the palace shall be dissolved. And Huzzab shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as with the voice of doves, tapering upon their breast. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water, yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of the silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory. Of all the pleasant furniture, she is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions, and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lions whelped, and none made them afraid. The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with ravens. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Yahweh of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth. And the voice of thy messenger shall no more be heard. That's the end of Nahum chapter 2. Let's go right on into Nahum chapter 3. Woe unto the bloody city. This is talking about the Adventist church. Nineveh is a typical city representing the Adventist Church today. She's antitypical Israel. I mean, antitypical, yeah, spiritual Israel. She's antitypical Nineveh. So it says, woe to the bloody city. Is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariot. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot. For the mistress of the witchcrafts that selleth the nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Yahshua of the host, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. Now this is talking about the Adventist Church. This is a prophecy directly for a spiritual Israel of today. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will sit thee as a gazing star. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? So when it says Nineveh is laid waste, it means that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is laid waste. And who's going to bemoan her? When shall I seek comforters for thee? Are thou better than populous? No. Thou wast cityate among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubin were thy helpers. Okay, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy stronghold. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick plain. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like a canker worm. Make thyself many as the canker worm. Make thyself many as the locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. The crown are as a locust, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun arises, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountain, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the breath of thee shall clap thy hands over thee. For upon whom hast not thy wickedness passed continually? Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now here's a command to the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. To awaken, awaken, put on thy strength, O Zion. That was the Adventist Church's given name in 1844. She may not realize it, That's exactly is the name of Israel today, is Zion. The Zion in 1844 Adventist in the 10th hour, parabolic hour. The Zion in 1970 at Gilead Center, Charlotte, Texas, Rutledge Johnson, in charge of the third feeding pasture, Gilead, Mount Gilead, is in the 11th hour. They were called 11th hour Zion. And that's what V.T. Holliffe named it. Because V.T. Holliffe in 1930 with the Shepherd Rod was still a 10th hour Mount Zion. Okay? So this Zion applies to the house of Israel exclusively, none else. Okay, so it says Isaiah 52 verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Yahweh, ye have sold yourself for naught, ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. So here's that name, Yahweh, Elohim, Yahshua. They shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Okay, so now it says, verse 7, I just read it. He said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Okay, the feet of him is the house of David. This is Yahshua in the form of his people of the 144,000. They're the ones that are will bring good tidings to the world once they appear on the scene. Before that, it would be the house of David and typical Elijah David. Okay, that's publishing to be the information that will bring forth the 144,000. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Publishing salvation, you have to go teach the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You have to use the sanctuary as the main theme for teaching that subject. And that's going to be found in Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go continue now. Isaiah 52:8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, but the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Break forth in the joy, sing together, ye waste places of the Yahweh. For the Yahweh hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Okay, this hath is past tense. The Yahweh hath made bury his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Brother, he started this with Donald Trump. He started with Donald Trump, as antitypical Shars, a barbarian heathen that's converted to Judaism in belief, maybe not entirely shown in action, by keeping all the holy days and declaring it to from his pulpit. But nevertheless, Donald Trump is setting an example of the way that the world is going to have to follow. Because he's worshiping with the synagogue of Israel. He's worshiping with his daughter that has converted to Judaism. His daughter Ivanka, husband, is a Jew. Right. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Yahweh. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by foot. For the eye will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Okay, that ends chapter 52. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, and let's pick up the theme of Yahshua being the perpetual sacrifice for Israel. He, in other words, he is the high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us, for those that come unto him, and lays a hold of his covenant there in Isaiah 56. So it says in verse 1 of Hebrews 7, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Yahweh, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, unto whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made alike the Son of Yahweh, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. Now who was this Melchizedek? Well, you know what, for the Seventh-day Adventist sake, Ellen G. White tells you who Melchizedek is. She says it's Yahshua. Okay. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him and that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity to change also of the law. The law of what? The law of the priesthood. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Savior, Yahshua, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of the Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment, going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto Yahweh. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests was made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Yahweh swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, Melchizedek then, Yahshua, and Yahshua being of the tribe of Judah, so, here it is, Yahshua appearing unto Abraham with the name Melchizedek. And Yahshua come from the tribe of Judah. Okay. Thus so much where Yahshua made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto the Father by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was not since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Okay, let's just go now right on into, let's go now to Leviticus 9, chapter 9. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Yahweh. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take thee a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice for the Yahweh, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Yahweh will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded, before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Yahweh. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Yahweh commanded that you should do. And the glory of Yahweh shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto the Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as Yahweh commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Yahweh commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt without fire, or with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's son presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offerings unto him, with the pieces thereof, and the head, and the burnt, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs, and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering, and took the goat, which was a sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering, and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took an handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. And the breast and the right shoulder Aaron weighed for a wave offering before the Yahweh, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Yahweh appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from the Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now you see what happens when you have complete compliance with the law of Yahweh. See, Moses was given the instruction, and he told them to Aaron. He said, now this is what Yahweh said to do. And when they followed the orders and carried them out just exactly the way that they was given to Aaron, when he carried it out, then Yahweh appeared unto them. Then came a fire out from the Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. What would have happened if Moses hadn't followed complete instructions? And if Aaron had not followed complete instructions to do what Moses commanded him from the Yahweh, Yahweh would not have sent a fire out to consume that burnt offering, show his acceptance of their form of worship. Because it was not their form of worship, it was Yahweh's form of worship that he commanded unto them. So he's commanded unto the Adventists today a form of worship. The ordained system of true worship with all of the feast days, the Sabbath days, completely enjoined unto the house of Israel today to perform their vows. So the wicked shall no longer pass through, that he is utterly cut off. Hebrews chapter 1, this is a transition now from the Old Testament to the New of the offerings taking place in the sanctuary above. Our offerings today are spiritual offerings. And so let's just go and read the book of Hebrews on that. Start with chapter 1. And it starts with Yahshua. And it says in chapter 1, verse 1, Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto us, which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he said, and let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angel spirit, and his spirits ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Now this is important. It says, a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, even thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now, do you get that? Yahweh, in the beginning, 6,000 years ago, he laid the foundations of the earth. And on the fourth day, he created the heavens. He created the heaven. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, which are in the heavens. He created the universe on the fourth day. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Okay? They shall perish, but thou remainest. Okay, what does it mean, and they shall perish? It talks about the heavens are the works of thine hands. And he says, and they shall perish. Those heavens are going to perish. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. All of those heavens, those planets out there in the heavens, they're going to also wax old. What do you think that you see all them shooting stars and all those meteorites shooting in the heavens at night? What do you think that is? I think it's none other but those planets waxing old. And they're sloughing off a lot of stuff. Okay. Verse 12, Hebrews 1. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So he's talking about those heavens out there, those planets. He says, but unto which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Okay, now it says, Yahshua made like unto his brethren. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? For the Yahweh, the Father, also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according unto his own will, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? For the Son of Man, that thou visitest him, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst sit him over thy works, the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of the Elohim, should taste death for every man. Now, why is it talks about Yahshua was made a little lower than the angels? You know, Yahshua is the only begotten son of the Father, come out of the Father's loins. The angels were created like Adam was created, from the dust of the ground. But Yahshua came out of the loins of his Father, and that makes him the difference. But Yahshua is called the angel of the bottomless pit, here in Revelation 21, or 20, let's see. He says that he's the angel of the bottomless pit. And he says in 20 verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid a hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Well, now, there you have it. Yahshua is an angel, just like the other angels in heaven. The only difference is he's created out of the loins of his Father, and the other angels come out of the dust of the ground. But they're all angels. They're all brothers. And Lucifer was an angel. He was the highest angel under Yahshua. He was a covering cherub over the ark of the covenant. They're in the heaven. But it says right here in Hebrews 2 verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the sufferings. Oh, now this is very interesting. Make the captain of their salvation. Captain of their salvation? What does it say there in chapter 5 of Hebrews? It says in verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Okay, now it says back again here in Hebrews 2, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So now, what does it mean? To make the captain of their salvation. Who is this captain of their salvation? Who is this captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering? Well, I just read it to you there. And Hebrews chapter 5, let's read verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It's talking about Yahshua. And being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So it says that in Hebrews 2:10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sacrifices and they who are sanctified, see, for both he that sacrifices and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Acts 3:15. Let's just start with verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? For the Yahweh of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Yahshua. Now who are the fathers of Israel? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. part of it determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom Elohim hath raised up from the dead. Wherefore we are the witnesses. Yahshua is the Prince of Life. And his name, through the faith in the blood and in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith in the blood of Yahshua, which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, I added the blood part. And now, brethren, wot not which through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Elohim before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Yahshua should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh, and he shall send Yahshua Messiah, that before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitutions of all things which the Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And that restitution of all things has begun today. It has begun since January the 20th of our new presidency, inauguration. Donald Trump is carrying out a mandate of heaven to start this restoration in all the earth. And he's going to follow it up with his perfect servant, Elijah David, with the 144,000 when they come for it. They're going to join the civil government that Donald Trump is going to get established here in this country, back on the Constitution, and going to make it a theocracy. And everyone is going to be converted unto the sanctuary service of Israel that was given unto Israel. We're going to be keeping all the holy days again. All of the, whoever ends up on this earth, here in the United States, after the judgment is passed, they're going to be all righteous. They're going to be all commandment keepers. It says in Acts 3:22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which Yahweh made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." So he's telling these people that had hung Yahshua on the cross, that was all lifting up their voices unto Pilate and says, "No, we want to hang him on the cross. Give us a murderer." He's the one that Peter is telling them, "Repent." He says, because it's through the seed of Abraham that lays a hold of the covenant are the ones that are going to be blessed in all the earth here in the end time. "Unto you first, Elohim, having raised up his son Yahshua, sent him to bless you, and turning every one of you from his iniquities." Peter and John are persecuted. This is in chapter 4 of Acts. We're going to go now back to Hebrews, where we left off. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. "I say then, hath Elohim cast away his people? Yahweh forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." So Paul says, no, he hadn't cast them off, because I'm an Israelite. "Elohim hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession unto Yahweh against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now this is talking about Elijah of the Old Testament. But what saith the answer unto Yahweh unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000. That 7,000 incidentally means a complete number. And that reserved is 144,000. This is in the prophecy here. He reserved 144,000 out of the Adventist church, the spiritual Israel today, because the rest of Israel has apostatized. The rest of the Adventist church has apostatized. Who have not bowed the knee unto the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according unto the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. Okay, so now Israel, Seventh-day Adventist Church, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election, the 144,000, the house of David first is a first election. Elijah David sitting at the helm of it. Come through the first judgment there, 1 Peter 4:17 at Kermit, Texas, 2002. That's when the house of David was elected then to succeed Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We were Mount Zion at the 12th hour and in the 12th hour. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let the table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Okay, now the Gentiles are forbidden to boast. And because Yahweh has cleaned off the Adventist church, and brought forth 144,000. He's telling these Gentiles, now don't you start boasting, because I've got my Mount Zion here in the 12th hour, the 144,000 that are still at the head of Israel. We'll be clear to the end of time. So don't you start boasting, because they're going to be the ones that are going to bring the remnant of the Gentiles into their fold. Says so in Isaiah 66, verse 16 through 20 there in Isaiah 66. Says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yahweh forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation, here's that salvation is again. What does it say, Yahshua, the captain of our salvation there? And Hebrews 2:10, and he's the author of our salvation there in Hebrews 5:9. Here it is right here. I say then, have they stumbled? They're talking about the Jews, the Israelites, that they should fall? Question mark. Yahweh forbid that they should stumble and fall. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them unto jealousy. See, they had to fall. They're at the cross. They fell. To provoke them unto jealousy, because Yahweh moved on to the Gentiles with the disciples. He said, now, when he raised up Paul to join the other 11 disciples, he said, now go to the Gentiles. And it provoked many of those Israelites there on Capitol Hill in Jerusalem. It provoked them to jealousy, and they come and join the movement. It was a new movement. It was a second movement coming out of Egypt 1,500 years earlier. This was a second movement. That's the reason why those Jews had to repent there in Acts chapter 3. They had to repent and come on and join that movement of the apostles. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke unto emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, so the casting away of the Old Testament Pharisees, Sadducees, that were in charge of the temple worship there on Capitol Hill there in Jerusalem, where Yahshua was crucified, it says, for if the casting away of them, this Pharisee, be the reconciling of the world, and what does it say in Romans chapter 5? I'll read it to you. There's that word reconcile right there in Romans chapter 5, and I'll tell you how it's done. I'll tell you how it's done. Read it to you how it's done. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says, but Elohim commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. Paul is talking about to those Gentiles. He said, 3.5 years after Yahshua was crucified, resurrected, went into the heavens, Paul saw him in person. Paul ascended to his crucifixion, and now Paul is converted. He had a great experience on the road to Damascus one day, and Yahshua come and knocked him off his mule, blinded him, led him into the prophet's, had him led to the prophet's house, Cornelius, had him taught the plan of salvation for 3 days, and then he opened his eyes and said, now, you go and join your brother Peter, and you go join all the other 11 disciples, and you go and take this now, because you were a sinner up to this very day. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Said, now much more than being justified by his blood, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see that word reconcile? Okay. Reconcile and reconciliation. It says here in Romans 11:15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, okay, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So if the Jews decide to come and join the new movement now with the apostles, they can join now, and they can be a witness about how they believe now in the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20, and Romans 8, verse the first two, it says, for the law of the Spirit of the life in Yahshua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so when they joined the apostolic movement, then they got to enjoy the same thing, that the law of the Spirit hath made them also free from the law of sin and death that they were under. Just that pure and simple. Okay, so now as we go to Romans chapter, well, actually, this brings the close of our study. This hour, you can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Uncounted Day.
Beyond the skies, oh, they tell me of a home. spreads his fragrance to the uncharted tale. Oh, the land of Crocus Day. Oh, the land of an uncharted day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds run. Oh, they tell me of that uncharted day. Oh, they tell me of a king and his duty there. And they tell me that my eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. And the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of Douglas Day. Oh, the land of an uncharted day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds run. Oh, they tell me of that uncharted day. That he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives the sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again. And that love the land of uncharted pain. Oh, the land of cutless pain. Oh, the land of day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm